Well, when I work with organizations, a lot of times they take them through my thanks process. So the Cliff Notes version of that is the T is for trust. You build a foundation of trust. When you commit to bringing in a new idea that you got at a conference or at a program, of making a commitment to doing that new thing over the long term, because otherwise it's just a flavor of the week and your employees aren't going to trust you. When you help, which is the H step, you're helping to make your employees better tomorrow than they are today. That was part of my lightning talk, as far as the importance of investing in training, in helping your employees both personal with their personal and professional development. The A is, how do you acknowledge, applaud, and appreciate them? Too many times leaders are looking at what's broken and how they can fix it, instead of catching their employees in the act of doing things well and recognizing them on the spot in the way that they want to be appreciated. The N is navigating that work-life integration, because we are on 24/7. We're always on call. We have these smart devices we're spending more time with the people in the office than we're spending with our loved ones. So how are you bringing in that sense of community? How are you allowing those relationships to happen? The K is getting to know your employees. So whether you're investing in a multi-generational program so that you can understand the wiring, or perhaps a personality assessment like DISC, where you can figure out how people are wired personality-wise, and understand that your employees want to be seen as individuals, not just another employee ID number. And finally, the S is, what is the mission that you serve? How are you making the world a better place? How are you contributing, and how are you enabling your employees to contribute? So when you give thanks to the people who work for you, that's how you keep them from becoming someone else's top talent.
You mentioned in the lightning talk, you know, that to solve a problem, a lot of time companies want to throw money at a problem, and that in reaching employees, it's oftentimes not about the money or, you know, how many dollars, you know, they can earn. What do you want employees to recognize there in terms of, you know, what is most valuable and how you approach that conversation?
One of the best tools that I recommend to all of my clients and audiences is a simple sheet called the All About Me sheet. You make up your own template, but what it has on it is things like, you know, favorite $25 gift card, or favorite $5 gift card, favorite hobby, favorite candy bar. So that way, when you're recognizing people, you know, you can catch them in the moment with something that resonates with them. For example, Julie, what's your favorite candy bar?
Payday.
Okay, so payday. So if Julie rocks it out on a project and I give her a Reese cup, you know, it's peanut, it's fine, it's a great candy bar. But the thing is that if I give Julie a payday, she may not even remember filling out that form 6 months ago, but there's something subconsciously that says, wow, she's paying attention. So you can do it via a SurveyMonkey, you know, online. You can have your own form. But what that does is, instead of just simply going to Starbucks and buying a bunch of, you know, $10 gift cards to give to people, some of whom may not like Starbucks and may not even like coffee, believe it or not, We're looking for ways to connect with people in the way that they want to be connected with, and that's the key.
You mentioned earlier the, like, having a mission and, like, that bigger purpose that, as a company, and being able to convey that to employees. And I hear that, you know, that kind of purpose, purposeful employment is more for millennials. Do your findings show that is true, or do you think that's the same across all employees?
It's the same for all employees at the beginning of their careers, but the millennial generation really is the first generation where we're seeing this whole purpose-driven employment. If you look at this generation, they are the first generation that has never not known recycling. Okay, I know that's a lot of negatives in a sentence, but that's the way that they've grown up. They're always looking at, how can we make the world a better place? How can we make our lives a better place? How can we take care of this planet for the children? And in the seed industry, you have such a beautiful opportunity to do that. Yes, yes, it's a long-term process. Yes, you may be looking at employees who are looking for that immediate gratification, and plants just don't grow that fast. But if you can show the end result, you know, maybe those speeded up videos, it shows that plant coming to life, to becoming food, to saving the planet, to going to parts of the world where they don't have seeds, where they don't have food, whatever, that you're giving back. People don't want to be working in a plant and putting stuff in the ground and then maybe someday, you know, they'll get some benefit from it. It's like we have to have that conversation now and show what we're doing as an association and really what that purpose is, how we are serving people on a much grander scale.
To really connect those dots.
Yep, absolutely.
I mentioned in our opening that you're the author of Manufacturing Engagement. What is that? What was the impetus for the book?
The impetus for the book is when I do a program, I mean, my programs are fun and we laugh a lot and people walk out with all kinds of ideas. They're all jazzed up. And then Monday happens, life slaps them in the face and they forget. Everything goes right out the door. So manufacturing engagement is a way that they can have 98 proven strategies. There's all kinds of ideas in there. So how do you make your workplace better? And instead of you as a leader being responsible for always coming up with new ideas and always engaging your employees, it's a book that you can give to your employees. Pick a couple people, have an employee experience team, and let them go through the book, find some things. Because a lot of times you'll walk out with an idea, and it's a great idea to begin with, but then you do it over and over and over and over again, and it gets old, and then you stop doing it. Well, this is a way that you can constantly bring new life into what you're doing in a way that it's simple, none of the ideas cost a lot of money, and it really always comes back to that human connection. No matter what you're doing, no matter what the technology is that you have, no matter how few people you can do what you're doing because of the technology that you have, it comes down to basic human connection and building relationships with the people who work for you and with you.
Fantastic. Now, my last question, and I'm operating a little bit backwards here, is tell me a little bit about your career journey and how you founded Gratigy.
I started actually as an executive recruiter. I'm one of the few people on the planet who can say they sold their mother. Mom actually hated that job, but I said, Mother, you have got to stay there at least 90 days because I have a guarantee and I can't afford to give back the commission I made on you. So thankfully, Mother was there for 2.5 years. She did not disown me. From there, I placed myself into industrial sales, where I sold electrical cord and cable into the maintenance department, and then I went into the welding industry for 7 years, and yes, I do weld, and then I spent my last 7 years of my sales career in healthcare. When I was an executive recruiter, I realized the motivation that people have to stay with a job or to leave a job. In manufacturing, I developed my love of manufacturing and the skilled trades and the desire to change the conversation for people going into the trades. And in healthcare is, of course, the value of research. So putting those all together, along with my own personal practice of a gratitude journal, I knew that that was the key, that that was the message that I was supposed to bring as I started my speaking business. And but I also needed to put it in a language that companies would understand. And I wasn't sure that gratitude was the right thing to start out with. So that turned into employee engagement, retention, recognition. But everything that I do always starts with that, building that foundation of appreciation, of letting people know that you appreciate them. Because what happens is that we see the benefits in our personal lives. And when you as a leader or your employees can have less stress at home, better relationships with their family and kids, and they're looking at the world coming from a point of gratitude, they are bringing that better person into the workplace. And then when leaders see the personal benefits of a practice of appreciation, it's easier for them to take that into the workplace and to see the benefits there as well.
Great. And that's Lisa Ryan, keynote speaker here at ASTA's Policy and Leadership Development Conference, founder of Gratigy and author of Manufacturing Engagement.